Chama Bas Tov Ber, Huda Ben Ben Sion, Huda Bas Yisrach Adov, Liba Esther Bas Yaakov Yitzchak, Megizel Bas Yisrach Leib, Zavachaya Bas Yaakov, Elchanan Ben Pesach, Bas Yaakov Bas Ben Sion, Elchanan Ben Pesach, and Matal Ben Aryeh Leib. Okay, we begin. Lamed Vav Amid Beis.
11 lines up.
Ibarlo, the Gemara asks, Hai Ulbana, when we spoke of Prusbel as the Ulbana of the Dayanim, Lishna Dechutzbahu, does that mean that it is an expression of the brazenness of Beisdin, that they can take money from a borrower despite the fact that Shemitah has come and gone? So maybe Ulbana means chutzpah. Or maybe Ulbana implies convenience, that the Prusbel is for the convenience of the Beis Din. They don't have to be pressured into collecting all outstanding loans before Shemitah. They can wait until after Shemitah.
This was Shmuel's objection.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Shmuel had referred to Prusbel as Ulbana de Dina. It was his critical assessment of the Prusbel. So we're asking, what did he mean? Did he mean it's the chutzpah of the Beis Din to collect money that was already terminated by Shemitah? But I mean, it's just for the convenience of the Dayanim, that they can collect after Shemitah instead of before Shemitah. Tashma, bring your raya. De Amra Ula Ula says, Aluva Kala Shezinsa Bekerev Chupasa. Ula describes Klal Yisrael having sinned with the Egel Hazav at Har Sinai in the presence of the Shechina as a Kala that is Mezana while at the Chupa. And he uses the term Aluva, which indicates that the word means chutzpah, means brazenness. Rav Mari, Bradeba Shmuel, Rav Mari, the son of Shmuel's daughter, said, My Kra, what is the pasuk that illustrates this description of Klal Yisrael as having chutzpah for being mezana at the chuppah? Because the pasuk says, Ad Shehamelech b'msibo, while the king was still at his party, still at his chuppah, near Dina San Recho, my perfume stopped smelling well. So that's a reference to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai, having pursued Egel Azav, the perfume stopped giving off a pleasant scent while at the party. Amar Rava says, Adayin Chavivusahu Gaban. Nonetheless, this still reflects God's love for us. Because the pasuk here, which is clearly the critical assessment of Klal Yisrael's actions at Har Sinai, nonetheless, it says nosan, which implies a softer kind of terminology. Nosan means it gave up its good scent. V'loksiv hisriach, it does not say that they started smelling offensively. So it's a kind of a positive spin on what Klal Yisrael did, reflective of God's love for us even at that stage. Famous Maamar Chazal now. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Hane'elavim ve'einan olvim. Those who are insulted by others, verbally insulted by others, but don't respond in kind. Shomen chepasan, they hear themselves being publicly embarrassed. Ve'ein mishiv, yet they do not respond. Osen me'ahava, they serve God out of love, v'smechen b'yisurin, and they rejoice despite the fact that they are at times subjected to suffering. Aleinu kasuv omer, upon them the Torah says, v'ohavav kitzeis hashemesh b'gvuraso. Those that love God will shine like the sun at its brightest. This is a very special category of those who have that capacity to be silent in response to insult. Very special category of people. It is well known that these are individuals who have a very special koach of tefillah, a special koach of bracha. Just 2 nights ago, I was sitting next to Rabbi Chaim Pearl in the neighborhood, former Rebbe Yeshiva Central Queens for many years. Mm-hmm. He told me that during the COVID travel restrictions, when he and his family had to travel to Israel for a granddaughter's wedding, and they were having a lot of trouble getting approval for their travel plans from the Israeli bureaucracy, he had his daughter in Israel working on it from her end, trying to get approval for him to come in for his granddaughter's chasna, and just wasn't going. And he said at the same time, Kala's younger granddaughter, was having difficulty in school and class. There were kids bullying her and really giving her a hard time. And the Kala's mother, the Pearl's daughter, said to her younger daughter, "This is my chazal. It's very special. Koch HaTfila, a special koch of bracha. If you are insulted, you don't respond. It's a very, very special zchus." So April said they were waiting for the bureaucracy to hopefully grant them approval for their travel plans. And finally, 11 o'clock one morning, out of the blue, his daughter gets a call in Israel from the ministry. "All these people who want to come to Israel, are they all your family?" "Yeah, they're all family." "Okay, fine, good. They can all come." And it turns out later that day, the daughter finds out that her younger daughter had once again been subjected to a bullying attack and insults in school. And the daughter said, upon being asked, she said, "But I didn't say anything because of what you told me. Instead, I just davened that Hashem should allow Mavinzadi to come in for the wedding." And when the daughter asked her younger daughter, "What time did this happen?" "To the minute. 11 o'clock in the morning, when the insults occurred, when she made that little tefillah of her own, when the call came through, boom, 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 chick-chock, just like that." Never know what the schus could be. Okay. Weiter. Gemara says, 2 nights ago, fresh off the press. Sorry. Okay. Gemara says, my prosbul. What does prosbul mean? Amrav Chista says, prus buli ubuti. It's really a compound word. That means the takana made on behalf of the wealthy and the poor. Top of the amud. Buli elu Hashem. The word buli, which we say is related to the word prus bul. Buli means the wealthy. Tachsid, because it says, Bishavarti es ge'on uzchem. The pasuk in the Tocha speaks of God smashing the pride of our strength. The Tanna of Yosef taught. What does that mean? Elu bulaos. Shabbi Yehuda refers to the wealthy ones in Yehuda. So he uses the term bulaos to refer to the Ashirim. So here too also, prus bul. Bul means the wealthy. Takana, to assist the wealthy in that they should be able to recoup their loans. Buti elu ha'aniyim. And buti is a term that refers to the poor. So Chassid says, ha'avet ta'avetenu, you should lend him money. So this is the takana for the poor, that they should be able to find loans when they need them. Good. Amale Rava la'lu'uza, Rava said to a foreign speaker, my principle, what does the word principle in your language mean? Amalei pursa demils. Means it's a kana. I'm reading Rabbi Shmuel. Shmuel says, Yisomin ein tzrichen principle. Yisomin do not need a principle to enable them to collect the loans that were owed to their father who has since passed on. The main Tani Rami Bachama. Rabbi Chama also taught, Yisomin ein tzrichen prosbul, same din, that the Yisomim who inherit a debt that was owed to the father do not need a prosbul to be able to collect it. Why not? So Rabbi Chama offers the svar to Rabbi Gamliel, Ubeistino, Avin, Shal Yisomin, because it's the Beis Din that oversees the collection of loans on behalf of the Yisomim. So the whole issue of collecting a loan after Shemitah is one of lo yigos. You can't collect a debt that had been owed to you, but if one is a Yasom, it's Beis Din that's overseeing the collection of the loan. And therefore, there's no need for the Yasam to make up a separate principle. Next, Tznan Hasam. Mishnah says in Misach HaShavias, Ein kosvin prusbul el ala karka. One can only write a prusbul if the borrower owns some amount of property. Rashi explains, because Chazal or Misake in a prusbul only for a milsa d'shchicha, for a common scenario. In most cases of a loan, the borrower owns some sort of property. If the borrower mamash does not own any property at all, and this is a highly unusual scenario, in which case the takanas chazal did not apply to such a loan. But the Gemara then adds, the Mishnah says, im ein lo, and if the borrower does not own any property, mizakeh besoch sadeo kol shu. So then the lender can give the borrower of his own property, a small amount, just to enable the lender to write up the principal. The Kama Kosho, what do you mean small amount of property? Even just a growing stalk of cabbage, the smallest little sliver of land, you give that to the borrower, and that enables the lender to collect, to write a prosbul to collect his loan. Because once the borrower owns even a small amount of property, okay, now it fits into the category of a milsa de shlicha, of the standard scenario in which you are allowed to write a prosbul. Rabbi Yehuda says, Afilu ishilo makom letimer really kirayim kosin olaf prosbul. Even if the lender lends the borrower space in which he can place his oven. Now an oven is a metalplan object. The lender here is giving the borrower the right to use his property to place the tanor there. That also is considered giving the lender the borrower karka to enable the lender to write a prosbul. In other words, he didn't give him ownership of the land. He simply lent him the use of that corner of your home, let's say, so to speak, mm-hmm. to place his metaltalin on that property. The Gemara asks, is that true? Is that really true, Rav Yehuda? The Tani, Hillel, but Hillel taught in a braisa, Ein kosvin prosbul. El al atis nakavilvad. Hillel, the Amora, quotes a braisa which says that you can only write a prosbul if the borrower has, at the very least, an atitz nakav, a punctured flower pot, which is considered mechubra lekarka. The Gemara's medayik, nakav in, she'en or nakav lo. Apparently, only if the borrower has an atitz nakav, which is considered mechubra lekarka, then you can write a prosbul. But if it's not nakav, then you may not write a prosbul. So you ask, why not? V'ha'ika mekomo. Even if the osetz is not al-pidzin mechuba l'karka, it's metaltalin, but it's sitting on a piece of property somewhere. And the same way you said that when you lend the borrower the rights to place his tanor on a small piece of ground, that's enough to enable the lender to write a prosbul. So here too, when the borrower has an osetz she'en nakov, even if the osetz itself has a din of metaltalin because it doesn't have a hole in the bottom of it, but it's sitting somewhere, sitting on the property somewhere, so he's using that small piece of land for his osetz nakov, so why doesn't that enable the lender to write a prosbul? Answers the Gemara lo tzricha, the manachas yichid, the case where we were medayik in the braisa, that if it's an osetz she'en nakov, you cannot write a prosbul, is because there we're talking about a case where it's not sitting on the ground. It's sitting on these pegs that are jutting up above ground. So he doesn't even have the rights to use the ground itself for his osetz nakov placements. Okay, next. Avashi makinile gidma de dikla. Avashi would give the borrower this, the stump or the trunk of a palm tree, because of a late prosbul, and then he would write a prosbul for his loan. Rabbanan Tver Avashi, Masri Milay Lahadadi. Rabbanan Tver Avashi, instead of writing a prosbul, they simply transferred to a group of their colleagues the right. They transferred their debt to a group of their colleagues to enable them to collect the loan. What Rashi explains is, one of them would say to three others, you are my beis din, I hereby give you my loan so that I can collect it whenever I want. In other words, instead of writing it in a prosbul, they simply verbalized that I am giving over my loans to you, the beis din, so that now I can collect it. Rabbi Yonasan, Masami Lev Chiva Abba. Rabbi Yonasan did the same for Chiva Abba. He transferred over his debts to Chiva Abba's beis din. Amalei, he asked him, Tzrichna midiachmin, have to do anything else? Amalei, tzrichas, no need. In other words, instead of writing the prosbul, you can even verbally declare, I hereby transfer my loans to this beis din, boom, now I can collect them after Shmita's over.
Do they have to make a kinyan? Because beis din have kebeis din, they could take it like that.
So it seems like by simply saying in the presence of Adam, in the presence of the beis din, I hereby transfer my loans to you, that enables him to collect the loans after Shmita. That's what Gemara sounds like. Okay? next. Gemara says, Tarna Ban Debaisa says, Ein lo karka. Let's say the borrower does not own land. But the Arav yesh lo karka. And the Arev, the guarantor of the loan, does have land. Kosvin Olav Prosbul, you write a Prosbul, because even though the borrower has no land, but because the guarantor has land, that's already included in the standard scenario of Milsa de Shchicha, a common type of loan scenario. Lo ula arev ein lo karka, in land karka, neither the borrower nor the guarantor has land. However, ula chayav lo yesh lo karka. But the borrower had lent money to someone else who does have land. So then that also enables the lender to write out a prosbul based on a b'nasan's din. What's this din? Tanya, the Bryce says, and this is known as Shibud of b'nasan. B'nasan says, minayin lenosh b'chaveir mona, b'chaveir b'chaveir. How do you know if Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon lent money to Reuven? Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon lent money to Levi. Minayin shemotziyin mizeh v'nosan lezeh. How do you know that you can collect payment directly, Reuven from Levi, and bypass Shimon in the middle? Thus in Darshan's deposit to mean that if Levi owes money to Shimon, and Shimon owes money to Reuven, so then Reuven can take payment directly from Levi. So if that's the case, therefore the property that Levi has, which is Meshubah to Shimon, is by extension Meshubah to Reuven, and Mamela Reuven can write a prosbul on his loan to Shimon. It's not awesome. Mishnah says in Shvius. Hashvius mishametes es hamilva. Shmita terminates a loan. Bein b'shtar, bein shlo b'shtar. Whether the loan was made with a promissory note or whether not, Shmita terminates that loan. That's the Mishnah. Now, what do these two categories mean? B'shtar and shlo b'shtar. It's machlokas amarayim. Rabbi Shmuel Damar Shabbat, Rabbi Shmuel said, b'shtar means b'shtar sheyesh b'chrayis. That it's a promissory note written up with a lien on the karka of the borrower. And shlomo shtar means she'ein b'chrayis l'chasim. It's a shtar written up that doesn't include a lien on the property of the borrower. So either one of those cases, shmita terminates the loan. And kol shkemil v'apeh. Certainly, if there was no loan at all, no promissory note at all, shmita would terminate that loan. So Rav Shmuel will say that shmita terminates every single loan, whether it has a shtar, but it doesn't have a shtar, whether the shtar has shibud chasim, whether it doesn't have shibud chasim, shmita terminates that loan. However, Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon Lakish don't shabbat. Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish argue, and they say no. Bishtar means shtar she'ein b'chrayis nechasim. If it's a milva bishtar but no shibud nechasim, then shmita terminates that loan. Shalom bishtar means milva alpeh. There's no shtar at all. Shmita terminates that loan as well. But if there is a shtar written up, and the shtar includes shibud nechasim, shmita does not terminate such a loan. Why not? Rashi explains, because once again, the whole din of shmita terminating a loan is because the lender is not allowed to collect his loan. Lo yigos. But if you have a shtar, which includes the right to take property, shibud nechasim, it's as good as done. It's as if the loan is already collected. You have the right to seize property at any time you want. So if that's the case, there's no negisa here. There's no need to collect here. If there's no need to collect, then there's no violation of any issur of legos, and Shmita does not terminate such a loan, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What Rashi says is that it's as if there's no outstanding debt. It's collected already. There's no debt to pay. It's done. Come on, I quote Tanakh of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, a right from a Braisa, which says, Shtachov Meshamet, a milva b'shtar, Shmita terminates the loan. However, Yeshbach Rais Nechasim, but if it's Shibud Nechasim, Shmita does not terminate that loan. So it's a Rais of Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Tanidach, another Rais says, Siyem lo sada achas b'hava aso. If you set aside a specific field, this will be for payment of your loan. And Meshamet, it's as good as paid already. No termination of loan affected by Shmita. Not only that, elafilu kasav kol nechasai achroyin va'arvoyin lach. Even if the borrower writes, all my properties are subject to payment of this loan. So it's very unspecific. Even so, in a mashamet, it still considers if it's paid, no termination of loan affected by shvius. Right? So we have a raya from a b'risa to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So, whereas Rav and Shmuel said that Shemitah terminates even a loan that has a shtar, that has Shibin Chasim, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and the Brice as well, both say that no, that Shemitah will not terminate a milva b'shtar that allows for Shibin Chasim. Rav says, Kriveh Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi had a relative, Havaleh Ahu Shtara, he was owed money, Davak Sibbeh Achras Nechasim. And it was milva b'shtar, and there was Shibin Chasim. Also, the Kavan Rabbi Asi came to Rabbi Asi. Amalei Meshamet, O Eina Meshamet. Does Shemitah terminate this loan? Amalei Eina Meshamet. No, it's a milva b'shtar, Shibin Chasim. It's as if it's Gavoy already. There's no Chov, no Shemitah's Ksafim. Shavkev also came to Rabbi Yochanan. He then went to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Meshamet. Rabbi Yochanan said, Shemitah is Meshamet. Also, Rabbi Asi, the Kavan Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Asi came to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Meshamet, O Eina Meshamet, is Shemitah Meshamet, this loan or not? Amalei Meshamet. Yes, it is Meshamet. So Rabbi Asi asks him, what do you mean? But Mara Damar, Eina Meshamet. But you yourself said that if it's Milva B'Shtar, Shibin L'Chasim, it's Kegav Adami, there's no Chov, there's no Hashmet, there's Ksafim. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan answers, V'chi Mepnei She'anu Medamin Na'asa Maisa. Just because I think this is the case, meaning in theory, that should be what I hold. I'm not going to paskin on that Lamaisa. Meaning Lamaisa means that Shemitah is not Meshamet, you can seize money from the Malva, from the Lova. I can't paskin that Lamaisa. Ramash says, because I haven't heard this from my Rebbein, but this is my Svara. I haven't seen this in practice. I haven't gotten this from Misora. So therefore, no. Lamaisa, I'm not going to allow you to collect the loan. Lamaisa, I'm going to say Shemitah is yes, Meshamet. So Rav Asi asks, I'm only about Tanya Kavas Demar. I have a Braisa like you. The Braisa says that Milva B'Shtar, Shibin L'Chasim, Shemitah is not Meshamet. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Dilma, Ahi Beis, Shamahi, De'omri, Shtar, Ha'omed, Ligvos, Gavadami. That price might be Dafka, Shittis, Beis, Shamai. We find, in general, Machlokas, in other areas, Beis, Sil, Beis, Shamai, whether a Shtar makes the loan as if it is already collected. Rashi quotes the Machlokas, Beis, Shamai, Beis, Sil, Gavai, an Isha Sota, whose husband died before she drank the water of a sota, does she have the right to collect ksuba or not? The Shammai says yes, because shtar milikvas can govern them as if it's already hers. So here also, Abiyachan says maybe the brisa, which seems to indicate that the chov is collected and therefore Shmita is not meshamet, is dafka according to Beis Shammai. But according to Beis Hillel, I have no raya, says Abiyachan. So I'm not comfortable paskin in lemaisa that Shmita is not meshamet. Back to the Gemara says, Tanan Hassan, Mishnah says in Mesechas Shviyos, Hamalves Chaver Mos Hal Mashkan. A guy lends money to his friend and takes a collateral, takes a mashkan, takes a security. Vamos Hashtaros to Beistin, one who gives over his Hashtaros to Beistin. Ein Meshamtin, no Hashmatas Ksafin. Sigma asks, Mishlama Mos Hashtaros to Beistin, it's not when you give your debt over to Beistin. The Tafsil Habedina, Beistin now has the control, so to speak, over the chov, and it's not the malva who's going to be collecting. Basin can declare, you know, that the money goes to the malva. So there's no hashmatas ksafim there. El malva al mashkon, my time. But why does Mishnah say that when the malva takes the mashkon, then there's no hashmatas ksafim? So Amar Ravrav explains, Rishim de tofasle, because since the malva has control over this mashkon, he doesn't need to collect anything and claim any payment. He's got it already in hand. So therefore, the loan is not terminated by Shemitah. Only by says, Almeata, Helveya, Bedeba Chatzera. So let's say the Malva lent money. He doesn't have a mashkon, but he's living in the courtyard, in the property of the Lova. The toughest place. So he already has, if you will, the ability to easily hold on to payments. Live there and don't pay rent. That's your payment. So what do you say here in this case as well? That the fact that he's living in the borrower's chatzar and has the ability not to pay as payment on his loan means the Shemitah is not Meshamet? Amalei Rava says no. Shani Mashkon de Konile Minav Yitzchak. Dafko the Malva has a Mashkon which he has a kinyan on, as Yitzchak says, then Shemitah is not Meshamet. How do you know the Balchov is Kona a Mashkon? Shnemar says, Lucha, Tietz Daka. That when you give back the Mashkon to the lover when he needs it, that's considered an act of righteousness. So Meino Kona, if you didn't actually have a kinyan on it, Stakam Nine, why is it considered such a wow, Gavaldiga act to give it back? Rather, says Mitzvah Mikan, the Balchov, Shkona Mashkon. This is a raya that a Balchov is Kona a Mashkon. And if that's the case, says Rava, so then when a Malva has a Mashkon, which is Kona, it's as if he's already tofus in the payment of the loan, no need to be, no gate to collect, therefore Shmita is not Meshamit such a loan. Next. That also Mishnah says in Shmita, Shvius. One of these. A Machzuch of a Chaveo, Shvius. Somebody returns a loan after Shmita, during a time when Shmita is in force. In other words, Shmita came and went. Shmita was Meshami alone, but the lover returns it anyways. Tzorach sheyomer lo Meshamanani. The Malva must say, I terminate the loan. Vim amar lo afapikein. And if the lover then says, even so, I want to pay back, you can take it back. Shnemar says, v'zeh dvar Shmita. Dvar, Hashmita implies that the Malva must say, Meshamet ani. Verbally, terminate Shmita. Amar Rabba says, V'talile ado amar hachi. The Malva can actually pressure, even coerce the Lova to say, Avapikein, I want to give it to you anyways. So yeah, Shmita's Meshamet. The Malva must say Meshamet ani. But once he does that, he can then actually pressure the Lova into saying, okay, I'll give it to you anyways as a gift. Eisei Bai asks, K'shum nosin lo, when the Lova pays the Malva, you can't say I'm paying it as payment for my loan. Rather, the lover must say, it's really mine, because Shmita is Meshamet, but I'm giving it to you as a gift. So, Abai is bothered. From Rabba, it sounds like you can force him to pay the loan. Yet the price says, it's got to be given as a gift. So how can you force him to give you a gift? Rabba says, Nachanami. Talulei, you pressure him, coerce him, Nami, Ad Amar, until he says, I'm giving to you as a gift. In other words, Rabba says you can force the lover to pay even after you say Meshamadani. He meant, not that you force him to pay as payment to the loan, but he meant that you force him or pressure him or coerce him to say, even though it's mine, I want to give it to you as a gift. That's what you're allowed to do, says Rabba. Okay. Rashi explains the words talulei to mean string him up on a tree as a means of coercion. Okay. And Rashi explains that by forcing him to give it to you as a gift, because you're not going through Beis Din to enforce payment of the loan, it's not a violation of Layigos. Layigos, Rashi says, is when you are making a claim in Beis Din that you're entitled to payment of your loan. But here, you're not going through Beis Din, you're just enforcing or pressuring him to give it to you as a gift. That's okay. Next. Abba Bar Marsa, do Abba Bar Manume have a masik de Rabba Zuze? Rabba had lent money to Abba Bar Marsa. Asinu nehalei b'shvias. He went back to pay Rabba back the loan after Shmita. Amalei m'shamarani. Rabba said, I terminate the loan. So in response, Shaklinu b'ozal. So Abba Bar Marsa said, great, thanks so much. Walked out. Also, Abai Ashkechei Tav Otzib. Abai comes by Rabba and sees he's very upset. Amalei my Otzib my, what happened? Amalei hochei m'maisa. This is what happened. I was like, so Abai went to Abba Bar Marsa. Amalei, I'm just like, Zuzi Lamai, do you pay back Rabba? Amalei, in, yes. Amalei, Mayar Malach, what did he tell you? Amalei, Meshamarani. He said, he terminated the loan. Amalei, Bamar, Tilef, Apigain. Did you tell him, even so, you want to pay back? Amalei, lo, he said, no. Amalei, so Abai said, Vi Amalei, Apigain. Had you said it to him, that you want to pay regardless, Havishak Lenimadach, he would have taken it from you. So Hashtamiyas, Amsinu Nealei, go back to him, bring him the money, the Emelin say to him, Afapikain, that you want to pay him as a gift regardless. Azal, Amsinu Nealei, he went back with the money, Amalei Afapikain, he said, I want to pay regardless, and Shaklinimadei, Rabba accepted it. Amr Rabba said, Lahabbe Daita, by itself from Rabban Mekar, he didn't realize, his Tamil Chacham initially, that he should have said, Afapikain. Amr Rav, Nachman. Rav says, "Shem of Nachman, Naman Adam Lomar, Prozbul, Hadibiadigo Avad Meni. A Malva is believed to say, I used to have a Prozbul and I lost it, and therefore I'm allowed to collect the money now. And Tosis adds, no need to swear. Just say it. Just say that I used to have a Prozbul, I lost it, and we believe you. Now, why is that? My Taima, Kabund it, Kinra Abun Prozbul, because once you had that ability to write a Prozbul, it's quite easy. So, Lo Shavi Keter, the Achli Surah. We don't assume that you would willfully neglect to do this b'derech heter when it's so easily done and do it b'derech iser. In other words, the Malva's choice. He can insist on payment of the loan and lie and say he had a principal when he didn't, which is usher, or he could have done b'derech heter. Write a principal and you're good to go. So if he says, I had a principal and I lost it because it was such an easy heter method, we believe him that in fact he had a principal. He also came to Rav, when a lender would come to Rav, Amalei Rav would say to him, "Maybe you had a principal and you lost it." Like he'd even like coach him, like ask him, like, "Did you have a principal and lose it?" This is an example of kind of feeding him what to say, by assisting him. Sound Mishnah says, "V'chein b'chov shmos yishtar chov, v'enim a principal, a lender produces a shtar chov, no principal along with it. Har'el lo yiparu." You're not allowed to collect payments. So isn't that against what we just said? That's the Gemara tonight. It's Machlokas Tanan. The time the Brisa says, "Hamotzi shtachov sar sheim a principal." Tanakama says, when you produce a shtachov after shmita, you must produce a principal with it. Chama say no, eino sar, no need to produce the principal. Okay. when shmita ended this year. I beforehand wrote my prosbol, put into my gemara, my dafyomi gemara. I found my prosbol for the previous shemitah cycle. Yeah. The same dafyomi gemara. I guess every 7 years, shemitah cycle 7.5 years. I mean, dafyomi cycle 7.5 years. So it kind of, you know, works out that you end up putting it in the right same volume of your gemara. Okay, so Rish Hashem.
I find stuff in my gemaras.
And the last cycle around. So next shemitah also we'll find. We'll put our prosbol in the same volume of the gemara, and we'll find it there from the previous dafyomis.
Okay. Can you return?
Says the Mishnah. Eved Shnishpa. Okay, now we're moving on. Different discussion here. Eved Kanani, taken hostage. Upat Uhu. And another Jewish man buys him back from the non-Jewish captor. Imlishum Eved, if when they bought him back, they did so with the intent that he should be their Eved. Shtabit, so he remains an Eved. But if they bought him back with the intent that he should go free, he does not work any longer as an Eved. Aben Shimon, Ben Gamil Omer, Ben Kach, Yishtabed, regardless of their intent when they redeemed him, he remains an Eved. Yishtabed, the Eved Kanani remains an Eved. Okay? So, Gemara asks, what's going on here? I'm asking, what's the case here in the Mishnah? Ilem Lefnei Yeyush, if they bought him back from the captor before his original owner despaired of ever recovering him. So the Shum Ben Harna Mailo Yishtabed. So even if the second Yisrael, the one who buys his freedom, does so with the intent that the Eved should go free, why does he go free? If this was before Yeyush, he belongs to the original Yisrael who owned him. Give him back to his owner. Let him continue serving as an Eved Kanani. Ella, rather, you'll tell me, L'achar Yeyush, it must be that the original owner gave up hope. If that's the case, the Shum Eved, if he was redeemed with the intent of him serving as an Eved Kanani, Amay Shtabed, why does he go back to work for his original owner? If his original owner had Yeyush already, so then why should the Eved Kanani be Mechuyev to work once again as an Eved for his first owner? He already had Yeyush. Amar Baya, Baya says, La'olam lefnei Yeyush. The case in the Mishnah is, the original owner did not have Yeyush yet. So we asked, if he's redeemed L'shum Ben Chorin, so why is he not Mishtabe? So he explains as follows. L'shum Eved, if he's bought back as an Eved, Yishtabe, the Rab Rishon. Then he taka works for his first owner because the first owner had no yeyush yet. Shum ben Chorin. But if he's bought as a ben Chorin, meaning he was redeemed with the intent that he should go free, lo yishtabe, it does not work. Why? Explains Rabbi. Lo Rabbi Rishon, but lo Rabbi Shenim. Not for the first owner, and not for the one who bought his freedom. Why not? There's no Yeshir. Why does it not go back to the first owner? Sigmar explains. The Rabbi Shenim, though, he doesn't work for the second Yisrael who redeemed him, the Holoshim Ben Chorin Parakeh, because the second Yisrael bought him his freedom with the intent to free him. So there's no reason why he's Meshuvah to the second Yisrael. The question though was, if there was no Yeshir from the first owner, why doesn't he work for the first owner? Says the Gemara, Rabbo Rishon Namilo. He doesn't even have to work for the first owner. Despite the fact the first owner did not have Yesh yet, no need to go back to work for him. Why? Dilma Mimnoe Veloparki. Because Tikanas Chazal, that we're afraid that if everyone knows, oh, the first owner had no Yesh yet, so he has to go back and work for the first owner again, people are less inclined to buy him his freedom. Why should I pay so that he can then be an Ebed for this guy? If I can buy him his freedom and he's a functioning member of Klal Yisrael, okay, I'll buy his freedom. But if he's going to go back to work for the first guy, so why would I buy his freedom? So because Chazal were concerned that people would be less inclined to purchase the freedom of this Eved Kanani if they know that he's going to go back to the first owner as an Eved, so Chazal said that even in a case where the first owner was not Misyayish, if the second fellow buys him, I'll deny that he should go free, that's why he wants to free him, he doesn't go back to the first owner.
Well, why isn't the person who's poda him considered that he owns him because he's karka?
And if he bought him back l'shum eved, we'll see. In other words, if he bought him back for the sake that he should work for me, then we'll talk about that in a minute.
Right.
But the case is that the second Yisrael bought him back l'shum ben haran. He wants him to go free. So if that's the reason he bought him his freedom, because Chazar mislaken, he goes free. If you buy him to be an eved, and the first owner did not have Yeish, he remains an Eved of the first owner. In other words, if that was the intent of the person who redeemed him, that he should still be an Eved, well, if there was no Yeish from the first owner, he belongs to the first owner. Ah, so that's the bias pshat in the Mishnah. So, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, and then Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the Mishnah argues, and he says that either way, he always remains an Eved. So why is that? If we're talking about a case where Abai said there's no Yeish yet, so if it's L'shum Eved, he buys his freedom in order for him to go back to be an Eved. Okay, so he goes back to the first owner as an Eved. Why is it though that if the second Jew buys him back L'shum Ben Chorin, why does he not go free? Kasaba, Abba Shimon, Ben-Gamliel holds, just like the mitzvah of pigeon shvuim applies to a free, full-fledged Jew, there's a mitzvah of pigeon shvuim, and it comes to an Eved Kanani as well. In other words, there's no concern, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that the potential Redeemer is not going to buy his freedom. If it's Lefnei Yeish, and he rightfully belongs to the first owner, that's not going to stop someone from buying this Eved from captivity, because there's a mitzvah of Pidgin Shvuyim for an Eved Kanani, just as there is for a Ben Chorin. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if there's no Yeish yet, and someone buys his freedom from the captor, he goes back to the first owner, period. So this is the bias pshat in the Mishnah. Rabba says, Lolom Acha Yeish, Rava says the Mishnah is talking about a case where the first owner was Messiah already. So therefore what? If he is bought L'shem Ben Chorin, he goes free. That I understand. If he's bought L'shem Eved, why is he Mishtabed? Says Rava, L'shem Eved Yishtabed the Rabbo Sheni. He belongs to the second Jew who bought him as an Eved now. L'shem Ben Chorin, if he's bought to be free, Lo Yishtabed, he doesn't work at all. Lo Rav Rishon, hello, Rav Sheni. Not for the first, not for the second. Why? Rav Sheni, hello, Tel Shum Ben Chorin Parke. He doesn't work for the second Yisrael because he bought him back to be free. Rav Rishon, Amilo. He doesn't work for the first Yisrael either because the first Yisrael was already Messiah. And Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer, Ben Kach Ishtabed. Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel says, if it's after Yeish and the Yisrael buys his freedom, he serves as an Eved regardless. Why? Why? He serves as an Eved for the first Adam. He serves as an Eved for the first Adam. Why? Says, why does the Eved Kanani who was bought back from the captor still have to serve his first Adam, even if it's Acher Yeyush? Shlohei kol echad ve'echad holech umapel atzmo l'gaisos umafke atzmo miyad rabo. Because we don't want to create an incentive for the Eved Kanani to surrender himself to these roving bands of armed raiders as a means of then, when he's bought free, after Yeyush, he now goes free. Because if it didn't would be that L'achar Yeyush, anytime someone buys this Eved, Shum Ben Chor, and he goes free, then Eved has an incentive to be taken captive. Mm. At a certain point, the owner will give up hope. And then if someone who is a nice Jew comes by and says, oh, there's an Eved here languishing in captivity, I'll buy his freedom, the guy goes free. So in order to avoid that incentive, we tell the Eved that, sorry, pal, if you are taken captive and then you are redeemed, you still go back to work for your first Adon. Okay, I'll stop here by the Mesa.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good day to all.